Let's pray. Father God, thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day, for the wonderful weather, Father. I just pray, Lord, that you can really bless us who are here today and those who are listening in, Lord. May you reveal some spiritual insights and revelation through Psalm chapter 14. And Lord, that we always learn something from the Holy Spirit's pen. And I pray, Lord, that that you bless the words that I'm about to share, and Lord, that you will just sanctify us through your word. And I pray these things in your son's precious name. Amen. So this morning we'll be looking at Psalm 14. Psalm 14. The fool says in his heart, "There is no God. They are corrupt. They do abominable deeds. There is none who does good. The Lord looks down from heaven on the children of man to see if there are any who understand, who seek after God. They have all turned aside. Together they have become corrupt. There is none who does good, not even one. Have they no knowledge, all the evildoers who eat up my people as they eat bread and do not call upon the Lord? There they are in great terror, for God is with the generation of the righteous. You would shame the plans of the poor, but the Lord is in his refuge. Oh, that salvation for Israel would come out of Zion, when the Lord restores the fortunes of his people. Let Jacob rejoice, let Israel be glad." And so when we read this chapter, many of us, including myself, we probably think, another psalm about how God will save us, how those outside of the church are evil, how they have no God in their lives, and how God would destroy them. As I was going through the other psalms that we've been reading together and the other psalms that I've been sharing on, the theme seems to be very similar. It's almost this theme of us against them, the church and the world, the edified and those who are not yet filled with the Holy Spirit, so on and so forth. There seems to be a distinction. But actually, I don't think that's what the Holy Spirit is trying to share with us in this psalm. If you notice in verse 1, this is what it says. The fool says in his heart, "There is no God." It doesn't say, "The fool says, there is no God." So note the distinction. It doesn't say, "The fool says, there is no God." It says, "The fool says, in his heart, there is no God." What's the distinction? Well, with one, it simply means someone who verbally professes there is no God. The other is someone who believes in the deepest recesses of his being that there is no God. There is one who says, and there is one who says in his heart. One may verbally profess that God does not exist, but in his heart, maybe he's still subject to persuasion. But the other is one whose heart already determined that God does not exist. But why does this matter? Well, it matters because those of us here today and those listening in may have never said verbally that there is no God, or perhaps not recently after you guys have come to faith. Or perhaps we are too proud, too disciplined, too much of a leader of a Christian to say that there is no God. In other words, we know better. Perhaps some of us have a flock to take care of. We will never utter these four wicked words, "There is no God," at least not in front of them. But the thoughts and intentions of our hearts, that's what matters. That's where no one can see, hear, and smell. And that's where we struggle in our daily spiritual battles regarding whether God is there for us, whether God is for us, whether God is for you, whether God loves us, whether he loves you, whether he even exists. And with every act that we take, every act out of anger, every act out of lust, every act out of pride, our actions are actually betraying the beliefs in our hearts. While we've never said those four particular words, "there is no God," every act that we take is an expression of our heart's profession that there is no God. How can our actions be consistent with godly principles if our heart already believes that God may not exist? That's how sin occurs. The absence of God in our hearts, not the absence of God on our lips. That's why at Genesis 6:5, Moses said, "The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." And Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it?" And so in Psalm 14, the psalmist reaches the same conclusion. That's why in verse 3 he says, "They have all turned aside. Together they have become corrupt. There is none who does good, not even one." In fact, throughout this chapter, the words "there is none who does good" is repeated at least twice. There is none who does good. There is none who does good. It's almost as if the psalmist is trying to tell us to read between the lines that even the writer himself does not do good. Not just those that he is looking at, but he is also talking about himself. So I wonder how many of us think that we are doing good, that we are edified, and that we are set apart, that we are different, that we are exceptional. Now again, of course, we are nuanced beings. None of us will actually say it. None will say, "I'm better than you." None will say, "I'm different." None will say, "I am the favored one of God." None will say, "I am especially anointed." We are too smart for that. We are too well packaged for that. We're too good for that. But the reality is that in our sinful flesh, and as Moses said and as Jeremiah said, we have sick hearts. We certainly think it. And we struggle with thoughts of self-pride and self-confidence, especially when things do go well for us. But take courage, brothers here and those online. It's exactly because none are good that Jesus' salvation applies to all of us. Because Jesus didn't come to save the good, those who proclaim to be well. And Jesus came to save the sick and the lost. And it is a good thing that all are sick and lost, that all are bad and no good, that all have hearts that need to be healed, because that means the all-encompassing love of God and the work of the cross applies to everyone that is listening today. And that's why we need God to enter into our lives. We need to constantly invite him in. Salvation isn't a one-time event. Yes, sure, there may be a moment in which we decided to be saved by Jesus, that we chose to have him enter into our lives. But that's just a journey. It's not the one-time decision. It's a journey. And because our hearts are sick, as with any sick person, it takes medication. It takes time to heal. It's not an overnight thing. Even though our hearts are circumcised, it's still in the process of beating a new beat by the Holy Spirit. And so even Moses says this, Deuteronomy 30, verse 6, "We need God to circumcise our hearts so that we may love the Lord with all our heart and with all our soul, that we may live." Circumcision of our hearts is only the first step. The circumcision is to enable us to enter into a relationship of love with God. Because only then can our actions flow out of the love of God, not flow out of a doubt of God. Paul says this at Romans chapter 2, verse 28 to 29. For no one is a Jew who is merely one outwardly, nor is circumcision outward and physical, but a Jew is one inwardly, and circumcision is a matter of the heart, by the Spirit, not by the letter. His praise is not from man, but from God. His praise is not from man, but from God. Now, what's interesting about chapter 14 is that it ends on verse 7, which says this, "Oh, that salvation for Israel would come out of Zion. When the Lord restores the fortunes of his people, let Jacob rejoice, let Israel be glad." So as I mentioned earlier, there's a dichotomy, it seems, between, for instance, the sons of Israel and the sons of the other nations. And historically, we know from the Old Testament that Israel is typically synonymous with God's people, with the righteous people, and that those who are against Israel are not God's people. But Paul is trying to tell us that, yes, maybe there are those in the world today even who are ethnically Jewish, who are ethnically Israelites. But that's akin to saying within this church, there are those who claim to be Christians, who are nominally Christians, who may even have been brought up as Christians or have been part of Christian families for a very long time. But that's not enough, because Paul says it's not about being a Jew outwardly, it's not about being circumcised outwardly, but it is about being a Jew inwardly, and that circumcision is a matter of the heart by the Spirit and not by the letter. In the same way, it's not about whether or not we are professing verbally there is no God. It's about whether our actions betray the truth of our hearts, where we are already professing there is no God. And so, verse 2 of Psalm 14 gives us the answer. The Lord looks down from heaven on the children of man to see if there are any who understand, who seek after God. That is why we come to EMP. That's why we pray. Because it's only by prayer that we engage in any intimacy with him, that we begin to be close with him, that we see him face to face. What he says, we hear, and what we say, he hears. With such intimacy, we can't dare say in our minds or in our hearts, there is no God. Why would we? In this sanctuary right now, the moment you engage in prayer, the thought doesn't even enter into our minds. Rather, it's when we step outside of the sanctuary, and I'm not just talking about this sanctuary, but the sanctuary of our hearts. The moment the world hits us, that's when the doubts re-enter. And we need to always come into a place of sanctuary, into a place of rest, into a place of submission, to realize how much we need his salvation, how much we need him to enter in our lives all the time, daily, all the time. And so sometimes I do struggle when there are brothers and sisters who don't see house church as all that important, or don't see EMP or private times of prayer as all that important, because it's almost as if it is an acknowledgement that we're not all that bad. It's almost as if it's an acknowledgement that we don't need that much healing, that our hearts aren't all that sick. But if you look at this chapter, the psalmist is saying we're all fools. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. And the psalmist is making an assessment not just on those outside of Israel, but he also sees the hypocrisy within Israel, that everyone is a fool. And until we recognize that we are fools, until we recognize how sinful we are, until we recognize how sick we all are, we will never enter into that place of rest, into that place of prayer, into that place of humility and submission, into that place where we say we need to not only go to house church, not only pray with each other, but we need to meet with each other regularly, to encourage each other regularly, to sharpen each other regularly, to read the word regularly, because it comes out of a heart where we already know that God exists. And it comes from a heart where we know that without God, there is no good. We can never claim that we are good. We can never claim that we have any self-confidence. We can never claim that we have any self-pride, because all of our new confidence, new pride, new heart can only come from a circumcision that comes from above and not from our own making. So on that basis, perhaps we can spend some time this morning now reflecting on our actions. How have we been behaving, brothers here, and perhaps some brothers and sisters online? If we think we're good, we think we are set apart, but we forget to add that we're set apart by God and that we're good because of God, then we should repent. If we think we're morally more righteous than others, again, we should consider repenting. Recall that all good things come from God. Even our transformation, our daily transformation from wicked men to good men is also from God. So now is a good time to get close to Him and to have Him speak into our hearts so that we are refined from foolish people to people filled with spiritual wisdom.
came to my rescue, and I wanna be where you be lifted high in the world. Be lifted high in our life. Be lifted high in my life. Be lifted high in our world. Be lifted high in our love. Be lifted high. I called, you answered, and you came to my rescue, and I wanna be where you are. And I call, you answer, and you came to my rescue, and I wanna be where rescue, and I wanna be where you are. So let's pray for those who diagnosed with cancer and those who are going through chemo, radiation therapy, and surgery right now. Let's also pray for those who are ill and who have not yet met with Jesus. Let's pray that Jesus enters into their lives as well. Let's pray for those with infirmities. pray for those who are looking for work, that they will use their time wisely, and that this is a time where they can also receive from God and discern what opportunities are honoring to Him. Mission focus. Let's pray for North Korea. Let's pray for the missional opportunities right now that are happening through our partnerships in Asia, and let's pray for the persecuted churches and in the Middle East. Weekend gatherings happening this weekend, all the different ministries, GIC, Sunday services, outreaches, Noah's Ark, hospitality, SP Youth, Yahweh, Spin services, all our Sunday services, of course, and all the meetings. Let's pray for the leaders. Let's pray for those who are coming. Let's pray for the hearts of those who are coming for the first time as well, and pray that the Spirit really moves all of them, Father. Pray these things. Let's pray for the house churches that are meeting today. Pray for Fortress, House to House, Mawan, Southside, Tavistock, and Westside. Let's pray that there are frank conversations and discussions about the sensitive but very useful topic on Sunday by Pastor Sam. Let's pray for the leaders. Let's pray that they really dive in deep with the questions and that the discussions are fruitful. Let us pray. Father God, thank you, God, for this morning again. And Lord, thank you for Psalm 14, God, that is always a constant and good reminder that we should not be fools that believe in our hearts that you're not there, and that sometimes our actions betray that we believe that, even though we don't have the crudeness to say it out loud. So Lord, we repent for every action that we've taken that appears to be from you. Lord, that it's just an act of a circumcision of our flesh. But Lord, what we pray for is a circumcision of our hearts so that we may learn to love you with all our heart, all our mind, and all our soul. Lord, we pray for the Spirit to enter us. We pray for the Spirit to fill us daily. We pray for your anointing to not leave us. We pray, Lord, for you to transform us daily so that we may be more and more like you, God. And God, we humble ourselves before you today, and we pray, Lord, that we're growing to be more and more like your Son. Lord, thank you, God. I pray these things in your Son's precious name, Father. Amen. Good prayer time, guys.